We're turning together in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 19, beginning at verse 41 through chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. 2 Samuel 19, I begin to read the Lord's word from verse 41 of the text. And behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said unto the king, Why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen thee away, and have brought the king and his household and all David's men with him over Jordan? And all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, Because the king is near of kin to us. Wherefore then be ye angry for this matter? Have we eaten at all of the king's cost? Or have he given us any gift? And the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, We have 10 parts in the king, and we have also more right in David than ye. Why then did ye despise us, that our advice should not be first had in bringing back our king? And the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. And there happened to be there a man of Belial, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, We have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel. So every man of Israel went up from after David, followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. The men of Judah clave unto their king from Jordan even to Jerusalem. Title message, Division in the Kingdom. Division in the Kingdom. Now chapters 15 through 18 describes the rebellion of David's beloved son Absalom, who led Israel into a revolt against the king that almost brought an end to the king's reign. Absalom's rebellion was ended by a providential act of God in the woods of Ephraim. It is God who hung him up on a tree. It is Job who inflicted him with the fatal blow. Chapter 19, beginning from chapter 19, is a record of David's return and the reestablishing of his kingdom. You may remember this. It was marked by an extended hand of reconciliation to some of his enemies. Amasa was advanced ahead of Saul. Of Joab. I think this was a big mistake on David's part, but we will proceed. Shimei saw forgiveness of his sins against the king. You remember that? Barzilla, the king's aged friend and helper, was rewarded for his kindness. We saw this last time. But David's renewed kingdom had no sooner gotten off the ground before another insurgence began as a result of tribal jealousy. The 10 tribes to the north, called Israel, were angered because they were not among those escorting the king over the Jordan. Trivial, isn't it? But it takes trivial things to split a church. You've seen it here already. Or you may see it again. It's man's nature to gripe over trivial matters. The result brought a schism in the kingdom of Israel. As I have said before, David's earthly kingdom was a shadow type of the church today, what the church is like. It was an external kingdom with many imperfections and sin. Today, the church is the visible expression of the kingdom of God. Not every church. The kingdom of Christ is scattered, we sung the hymn, over the world. David was able to reconcile many of his enemies back to his kingdom, but he couldn't change their hearts. As the Lord builds his church today, it will be a composition of tares and wheat, saved and unsaved, in here, the church, as he builds his kingdom. Kingdom is scattered all over the world. We struggle to establish biblical churches, especially in Zimbabwe. And we see this played out in our endeavor to support missions. But a person can be in the church, the outward kingdom, but the kingdom may not be in that person. Our Lord said in Luke 17, the kingdom of God does not come with outward observations, but the kingdom of God is within you, because the king rules your life. Perfect teacher said that. Only true repentance and conversion can bring reconciliation in the hearts of people. It is only when that men, women, boys, and girls find peace with God that they will be at peace with fellow brethren and also the unruly in the world. It's where the fighting will end. So let us begin our message today in 2 Samuel, our exercise. I hope it's not getting redundant every Sunday. Turn to 2 Samuel. Turn to 2 Samuel. What else do you want me to turn to? Tell me and I'll turn to it. David had asked the tribe of Judah, his homegrown tribe, why are you the last to bring the king back, seeing that you are my bone and my flesh? He's using very intimate words to describe the husband and wife relationship. Upon this request, Judah went immediately and escorted the king over the river. This was the cause of yet another division in the kingdom. Look with me as we consider from our context first some of the seeds of division. And brethren, we should relate this message to ourselves. I am not simply here to give you history. Each of these points are designed for you and me in this church. I'm not just giving you an outline of Old Testament history. I'm giving you an outline for you to be careful of and follow. Some of the seeds of division: envy, Verse 41. And behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said unto the king, why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen you away and have brought the king and his household and all David's men with him over Jordan? You cannot please everyone in the church. You don't even have to try. The men of Judah did not secretly bring the king over the Jordan. It was a public affair. Barzilla met him, went up to the top, come back down. Prior to David's return, the men of Israel had no interest in the king's return. They spoke about it momentarily, but they had fled to their own homes. Back in verse 8. It is only after they call to mind the goodness of David who fought their battles back in the days of Saul. It was him who led them in the battle against the armies, against the Philistines. When they came to their senses, they sought the king. Here, envy led them to a false allegation. Why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen you away? This is human nature. Nobody stole anyone. You see, man wants to share in God's order of doing things. They want to take some of the glory. They want some of the attention. Why haven't I been given a place to announce the hymns, to pray? Why? This is some of us. Why it has to be calling praying first every Tuesday night? Why it have to be him preaching all the sermons? Well, if you can find a preacher, you can come and preach. I'll be very happy. Here there's a lot in Africa. Human nature. Another sign of division seen in the narrative is evil speaking. Envy, evil speaking. Verse 42. And all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, because the king is near of kin to us. He's our brother. Wherefore then be you angry for this matter? Why are you upset? What's the big deal? Have we eaten at all of the king's course? Or have he given us any gift? Are we freeloading? The answers that Judah gave to their brethren may have been true in the historical context, but the answer they gave was not expedient at that time. It wasn't appropriate. It didn't quench the fuel, the fire. You know how we can get. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. But grievous words stir up strife. You want to start an argument with your wife? Just answer her according to her folly. You know, sometimes Marcel might say to me, but you ain't say anything. You ain't listening? I say, yeah, I listen. I just ignore it. And some of us need to learn that. I can do a good job of ignoring people and the folly. A crisis is in the making, and there was a way to quench it. Proverbs 26:21. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. You know how we can just add a little wood? The Bible says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. It's a good principle. Judah could have quenched this strife with a humble answer, but they further exasperated Israel and said, because the king is family to us, why are you upset? Sometimes it's the words that we say that can trigger an eruption in the congregation that cause great harm. Sometimes the words we post on our Instagram or our WhatsApp can destroy a whole congregation. And some of you better watch it. What we say may be true, but what we say in arrogance can wound the conscience. We see envy in this text. We see evil speaking. The third thing we see is entitlement. Verse 43. Entitlement. These are common things, brethren. Verse 43. And the men of, you know, his back and forth words, back and forth. The men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, we have 10 parts in the king. We have 10 tribes. And we have also more right in David than you. Why then did you despise us that our advice should not be first preeminence in bringing the king back? And the words of the men of Judah were fiercer. So it means that they continued the argument than the words of the men of Israel. Israel said, we have a larger representation in the kingdom than you. We are 10, you are 2. You have the king, but we have the majority. We don't need you. If you're old enough, like I am, you may remember, and Charlie, you would remember, and Brother Curtis, the days of the federation between the islands in the Caribbean. Brother Nigel, you wouldn't know about this. You probably read about it. Brother Godfrey, you should know about it. A group of 10 islands, which was a good idea, came together to form a coalition. Free travel, no passport, freedom of movement, trading. Didn't last too long. Brother Depo, didn't last too long. One island said, we got oil. The next island only had seawater. One island said, one from 10 leaves zero. Mathematically, if you take the one away, you got a zero. These were the words that were being exchanged, Brother Depp. Federation broke up. Another island was upset because the prime minister was in Barbados. One of the smallest of the islands had the prime minister. Federation came to a close. Calypsonians sing about it. People talk about it. And now all of the islands down there are separate, independent, apart from a few. So I still know my history. I'm not Americanized. The group dissolved. Envy, evil speaking, entitlement will result in dismantling a congregation. I just use that to say that. Brethren, the people of God should not act like the people of the world. The church at Corinth had the same problem. I with Paul, I with Peter, I with Christ. Today, some of us can feel that we are entitled to extra privileges because of a privilege responsibility we have in the church. It's a privilege responsibility to serve God. We should always be careful of those who seek prominent positions in the Lord's church. It's a privilege to announce a hymn, to take an offering. It's not something to grasp. Similar problem occurred with the men of Ephraim when Gideon fought against the Midianites. They chided with Gideon, the man of God, the judge that God selected. We're told, now the men of Ephraim said to him, "Why have you done this to us by not calling us when you went to fight with the Midianites?" And they reprimanded him sharply. They forgot that God told Gideon, only 300. Because of this same problem. And that's why God has selected a few men in the pastoral ministry. A few. This clamor for entitlement in the church will divide us. I often warn our men, be careful. I see it cropping up all the time. If you are a person who loves the spotlight, you are the wrong place. As a matter of fact, guys, as much as I am here all the time, I really don't like to be here. I'm in a mad rush to get off the pulpit. Don't point your finger at what's going on here. The Lord said of the Pharisees, all their works they do were to be seen of men. Ephesians 4, the other text that talks about gifts, offers the solution to God's people today, saying that we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body. There's one Spirit. Even as you are called, one hope of your calling. And whenever there's envy and evil speaking or entitlement in a church, there will be division. Jesus taught that every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Now there's a moral, and there's a domestic, and there's a spiritual application to this text. House, home, if it's divided, bear trouble. Bear trouble. I hear somebody say already, if your spouse is unsaved, your father-in-law is the devil. And he's right. You got to fight at hand. Division. May God help us. At any level of society, whether it be civil, domestic, ecclesiastical, seeds of division will eventually breed strife. It won't be long before husband and wife break up. Won't be long. So we saw the seeds, division. Second observation, you have it in your paper, source of division. Here we jump to chapter 20, verse 1. There happened to be there a man of Belial whose name was Sheba. The name Sheba means oaf. Oaf. Sometimes to make an oath is okay, but this one made a bad oath. The son of Bichri, a Benjamite, and he blew a trumpet and said, "We have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel." Apparently this guy relished the situation. You know, some people relish a fight. Cheerleader. The character of Sheba is made known. He is a man of Belial. Now, every Bible reader knows what is meant by being a man of Belial. All of you know what that means. A person is either a son of God through Christ or a child of the devil. Today, we sit in the church and we are either a child of God or a child of the devil. There's no mistake about it. We may be able to curb our behavior, but you only become a child of God when you are born of God, when he changes you, when he gives you his spirit, when you repent and believe the gospel. I don't know how people can sit comfortably in a pew knowing that they are a child of the devil. I don't know how some of you are not stirred to ask, how can I become a child of God? I would be worried. But you see, the problem is, God must do that and not man. Left to man, you would never be concerned. And God's grace would come into your life and make you uneasy. I remember one time I was at this basketball marathon in Pennsylvania. I had recently made some kind of profession of faith. I was very uncertain. I went to this basketball marathon, and this young man came up to the front and gave his testimony, sent by Word of Life, and preached. And when he finished, I break up there, Brother Colin, to the front, 200-300 people. I heard you saying that you can know you're saved. How can I know that I'm saved? Show me the scriptures. Show me the way. And the very next Sunday, Saturday, I was at the Manhattan Bible Church sitting under Tom Harris. That was the young man that God used. I'm not a young man. I'm an old man. But God uses men to show you the way. Later, Tom married Marcel and I in that same Pennsylvania where we met. We're talking about a story in front of you. What I'm saying here is the source of division. The enemy is ever ready to form a group, a coalition, with a disgruntled element. Why do you think when they have a church split that a man is able to take half of the people with him? I pray that I would never, ever be a part of a church split. I would go home quietly than to see a split in this church. Sheba was a worshiper of Baal, and Satan is ever ready to cash in on a divided house. And many never see that they can become tools of the devil. Gossip. This individual was a Benjamite. It meant that he was an emissary of Saul, David's former enemy. He did not relish the idea that David had succeeded Saul. Even though he was in the kingdom of David, he was not on board with the king. It is somewhat like our day in our church. We may endeavor to bring reformation to our church, but many of you are not reformed. You would not reform. The one service mentality, the lack of prayer meeting attendance. Take note of these important things, brethren. You can be in the kingdom, but the kingdom may not be in you. If you want, it's not on board. Sheba blew a trumpet and drew a following. And any time we join with those blowing their own trumpet, we're on the wrong side. Back in 2 Samuel 15, verse 10, Absalom blew a trumpet, promoting himself. He drew a large following. They were quickly scattered. Blowing of the trumpet was meant for gathering, But it's also meant for scattering. Verse 2 of 2 Samuel 20, look with me. So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. And the men of Judah clave unto their king from Jordan even to Jerusalem. You see, brethren, what takes time, energy, and resources to build can be destroyed in 1 minute. One disgruntled man in the church. We see in this account how prone people are in following men. People are followers by nature. And evil men will manipulate people that are not grounded in the scripture. We try to teach doctrine here. The apostle warns us. And they can deceive the simple as they twist the scriptures. Ephesians 4 warns us that God has given us servants that we henceforth be no more children. And I like this word. This word, children, is a word that refers to unsaved people. It is the Greek word nepios. It's not pation or technon that John uses to describe little children. But this word is used to describe unbelievers. That you be no more children. Nepios, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. One brother that was once with us for a couple years, now I hear that he's a continuist. You know what's a continuist? One that believed that God is still speaking through dreams and visions. One that believed that he can baptize his children. He has the power. Sat right here. Sat right here with us. Be careful. But ultimately, the source of division is the devil. You don't see him with your eyes, but we see how he operates in the lives of many who occupy the kingdom. Remember the parable of the tares and the wheat. The servants asked the Lord, Jesus, Lord, did you not plant wheat in your field? Where come these tares? Where did it come from? Jesus answered them, an enemy have done this. The servants said to him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But the wise builder of his church said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let them grow together. You see, when you disturb a spouse, you may disturb the other spouse. When you disturb the child, you may disturb the parent. Let them grow together. And they grow numerically, but not spiritually. Satan is the source of division, and no one sees him. He employs people. He employs preachers. The trumpet was sung. Listen carefully. Paul asks rhetorically, if the trumpet gives an uncertain song, who will prepare themselves for battle? Verse 2 says, every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah stuck with their king. Paul said very plainly to the church at Rome, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. The apostle says, they serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Paul tells us to mark them. Those who are not on board with the teachings of the scripture, mark them. All that are in Israel are not of Israel, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. I should ask you guys to exegete that for me and listen to what you're going to say. You should exegete that text with 3 points. Israel is the general congregation. Judah is the remnant. It's apparent that David had no control over this earthly disturbance. He had no control. Today, we can expect these things in our church. In this life, you shall have offenses, but woe unto the one that bring offense. We move on to verse 3 of 2 Samuel 20. This is an incidental text. David came to his house at Jerusalem. The king took the 10 women, his concubines, whom he had left to keep house, and put them in ward and fed them, but went not in unto them. In other words, he never had any intimacy with his concubines. I believe up to this point now, David has learned. So they were shut up unto the day of their death, living in widowhood. Back in chapter 17, as David was fleeing, he left these ten concubines to keep house. Absalom, you may remember, upon the counsel of Ahithophel, molested these women in the open and ruined their lives forever. And here David has quarantined them. It became a disgrace. He knew what happened to them. So, brethren, let's move on. We saw some seeds of division in the kingdom: envy, evil speaking, entitlement. Remember what Paul said in Galatians 5:20 and 21? He called these things the works of the flesh. And he said, those who practice these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We saw the source of division in our narrative. Sheba, an emissary of Saul, who he typifies, our enemy, the devil. But he uses people, ordinary people, false teachers, preachers, carnal men. Third observation, fruit of division. And this runs from verse 4 to 11. I'll look at a few verses as time slips away. Verse 4 and 5. Then said the king to Amasa, assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days, and be thou here present. So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which he had appointed him, the king had appointed him. Now there are 3 bitter fruits resulted from division in the kingdom of David. 1, I want to give you these, I may not get to talk about them. Broken relationship. 2, conflict. And the other is insubordination. Let me touch on these quickly. The king's decision, as I said, in choosing his new general, Amasa, to lead his army in this tribal warfare against Sheba proved to be disastrous. Verse 5 says, but he tarried longer than the set time which He had appointed him. The king had appointed him. He was too slow. He was a procrastinator. We all can learn from Amasa's slowness in arrival in putting the king's troops in order. Some of us can't overcome the curse of lateness, of being slow, in lagging. Some of us can't overcome that. It's a curse. And God mentioned this here. We can learn from his slowness in putting his troops together. His slowfulness caused David to replace him quickly with Abishai, the brother of Joab, who was pressed into service. David replaced him right away for his slowness. And if I was to replace some men for their slowness, we wouldn't got nobody. But you should take note of this. I see these things quickly. Listen to verse 6. David said to Abishai, "Now shall Sheba the son of Bichri do us more harm than Absalom did. Take thou thy Lord's servants and pursue after him, lest he get him fenced cities and escape us." He pressed this man into service because of the slowfulness of Amasa. Some of us should take heed. We got assignments and we walk in here just on the dot. March up to the front. No time to pause. Slow. Lot was told to get out. Bible says, and he lingered. The Lord was merciful to him. Because of this conflict here, we see conflict. Job saw an occasion to kill this man. And once again, we see the insubordination of Joab. And this is the sad fruit of division in the kingdom. Don't ever think that these things cannot play out in our church or are not playing out in our church today. These things are written for our examples. Where there is division, the awful fruit of broken relationships, internal conflict, and insubordination will thrive. Let me read verse 7 and 8 of the text. "There went out after him Joab's men, the Cherethites, Pelethites, all the mighty men, and they went out of Jerusalem to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. When they were at the great stone, which is in Gibeon, Amasa went before them, and Joab's garment that he had put on was girded on him, and upon it a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins in the sheath thereof. And as he went forth, his sword fell out." Let me just pause this a minute. Here we see not only were the people in the kingdom divided, the army was divided. Some with Amasa, many still loyal to Job. Well, of course. And wherever there's division, there will be broken relationships, there will be conflict of interest, and there will be insubordination. Verse 9 and 10, "And Job said to Amasa," and Job is a trickster. The first thing Job did was disarm Amasa to make him think that he was his friend. "Art thou in health, my brother?" And Job took Amasa by the beard, because he was a strong man, the right hand to kiss him. But Amasa took no heed of the sword that was in Job's hand. So he smote him therewith in the fifth rib. Shattered his bowels to the ground. Struck him not again. And he died. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued after Sheba, the son of Bichri. This is quite gory, isn't it? This is quite difficult. But this happened. Amasa, in his inexperience of being a general, forgot a fundamental principle in warfare. You do not trust anyone on the battlefield. As much as I go to the mission field, you think I trust people? You think I trust? Let me see if you're eating the same food you're giving me. Let me see first. You eating out of the same bowl? Okay, I'll take some. You gotta be hip. You gotta be wise. Job pretended to be his friend. And it shows here, brethren, be patient with me. It shows here that Job was still fuming over his demotion. He refused to accept a lesser post in office and is still mad with his king for demoting him in favor of Amasa. You know, pastors get a bad rap because of their choice of selection in the church. When we begin to reform our church, we didn't have any men in place. We would use anybody at times. When the Lord blessed us with a few men and we begin to make changes, people begin to get upset with me. What are you getting upset about? Well, often he'll just come here. What happened that he up there? Or is it that he in front of me? Fuming. God's order. Come on, man. Joab. I'm worried about Joab quickly. For Joab, the end justified the means. He adds another notch to his gun. Abner's, Uriah's, and Absalom's life were already taken by Joab. Now Amasa is added to his tally as he moves on to the next target, Sheba. It was business as usual for Joab to kill somebody else. Joab, by the way, was loyal to David, but he was consistently disobedient to the king in assuming responsibilities that he shouldn't. Some of you better watch it. Going out on a limb. Men can be like this in the church. Want to serve, but don't want to serve under instructions. Schism in the kingdom. Death. One of David's choice men, Amasa, at the hand of Joab. Brethren, at the end of the day, the only ones that stands to suffer when there is division is the people of God. Drives a wedge between us. Preacher preach, and he preach under severe stress. When there is division at home, children suffer. Let's look at the broken homes. When there is division in the house of God, people suffer. God is not the author of confusion, but he's the author of peace. And mark these words carefully. I'm not talking off of my head. Neither am I here to show you what I have gained in knowledge. Watch out for these seeds in this church. I have seen them. Envy, evil speaking, entitlement. Let it not be said that we are the source of division or one that fuels. Call names. Cut them off. Satan is the chief agent and the source. We saw the fruit of division. And we saw some of that fruit already in our church. Having said this, if today your church or our church is enjoying any semblance of peace, we ought to be thankful. But if we are ignorant of the schemes and devices of the devil, we're heading for trouble. The church is comprised of a mixed people. Ever was, ever will be. I pray that I'm a saved man. And I pray the same for you. Saved man or saved woman. Now, in my conclusion, Pastor Richard Phillips, who has provided me, and I got a copy of this book in Good Neighbor Bookstore in South Africa, Brother Colin. Pastor Brian Stone spent the afternoon with us and took me there. Pastor Richard Phillips, who has provided me with some useful tips in his expository commentary on 2 Samuel, said of this account that I've just shared with you, and I quote, "The parallel of this dreadful situation in the church is even worse. Many nominal, troublesome, and unsaved church members are never spoken to about their spiritual state. They show up, they give money, and the emotional labor of confrontation is avoided until the day comes when they stand before the Lord in his judgment and are lost forever." You must read good books and good men. He's on the same page. I copied it to read it. What he's saying is that many in the church may get away with unchristian behavior and unfaithfulness simply because no officer, no church officer, no elder or deacon want a confrontation or a disturbance. And they say nothing because of that. But this may prove tragic for many in this room today. And many professing Christians. Silence, by the way, I end the quote. I'm explaining it. Silence does not always mean consent. It is for the sake of peace in the church at times that pastors don't say anything. This is the line my wife always run to me. Don't say anything. I said, well, if you want to tell me that, I shouldn't be here. Because I have to say something, because that's my office. But you should listen to Phillips, Richard Phillips. "He that is often reproved and harden his own neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." These studies in 2 Samuel are rewarding to me, but they're not easy. They're not easy. They're not easy for me. They're not as easy as you think. Rush through the Bible. I read it. Yeah, you read it, but do you understand it? Can you relate to it? They relate to the church today. Kingdom of God doesn't come with outward observations. kingdom of God is within you. And if the king is in you, you would love the kingdom. You would love his people. Wouldn't can't wait for the doors to open. The kingdom of God is led by the king. Of course, he employs people, like any kingdom would do. Both preacher and people have to submit to the duties of the kingdom. Christians are to submit to this leading as he directs us from the scriptures. Remember what I read in 1 Corinthians 12? But now have God set the members, and some of you who believe that you shouldn't be a member of a church that is preaching the gospel, I have news for you, dear sister. I have news for you. Because the Bible says, and God have set members in the church. What are you going to do with that? Where are you set? Up and down Flatbush Avenue, hopping from pillar to post. Every one of them in the body, as it have pleased him. And if there were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members strewn across the globe. One body. With a head, Christ. With on the shepherds, representing Christ. I cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. How is my feet going to be directed if I ain't got the head, the brain? And some of us behave like we ain't on a head. Not a single person has the right to envy. Not one has the right to speak evil one towards the other. Not one of us should have an attitude of entitlement. We're unprofitable servants. Watch out for the seeds that cause division, whether at home or in our church. Identify the source quickly. Let us not live in denial. Jesus said, an enemy have done this. Paul says, mark them. We don't want to see the fruit of division flourishing in our congregation because it results in a conflict of interest and insubordination. Everybody want to be boss now. Everybody giving instructions. The Lord Jesus said to his people, my peace I give you, not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Be not afraid. Let's pray. What a passage to us, Lord. Everything seemed to be going well. David returned. Forgive many enemies. He bid Brazil a farewell with a kiss. And oh Lord God, jealousy, envy sprout up. And oh Lord, David was on the run again. Murder. And you predicted that murder and the sword will not depart from his house. And again you have afflicted your servant. You have brought him to his knees once more. And we pray, Lord, that we will be forever on guard in this church. Forever on guard. That we would not sow seeds of division by how we act, by how we snap back when we are spoken to. Help us, Lord, to be godly men and godly women. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.